Welcome to the Healing Trauma Podcast. I'm so glad you're here. I'm Monique Coven. I'm the host. I'm a certified trauma recovery coach. I've worked for over 25 years as a social worker, and I'm a survivor. The Trauma Healing Podcast is for those who are healing trauma and finding ways to navigate through this messy, uncomfortable, and challenging recovery process. The intent of the podcast is to provide helpful information to validate, inspire you, support you on your healing recovery journey. You're going to hear stories from other survivors, trauma experts, and trauma therapists in the field that will provide information on effective trauma healing modalities, tools, techniques, skills, all in hopes of helping you heal. If you'd like to find out more information on trauma recovery healing, please go to my website at www.cptsdcoach.com. I also have an Instagram and Facebook page at cptsdcoach. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. I'm smiling. I really look forward to the day that I am recording. I feel that even though I don't see all of you, when I'm recording, I feel like there is this connection. And I feel like as I'm speaking, I can imagine that you're all listening. And so there's really that sense of connection and sense of community and sense of co-regulation, which is so important in our healing journey. So I just want you to know, I'm really glad that you're here, that you are so welcome here, and that you're not alone on your healing journey. And so that brings me to the introduction of today's episode, which is with trauma and holistic health coach, Mandy Flaunders. And Mandy is going to be sharing with us some of her own healing journey with addiction and with complex trauma. And I find her story so inspirational and so encouraging, because you'll hear about how she was, with everything that she has been through, how she is able to come back into a place of feeling more safety and more regulation. So enjoy this episode with Mandy. Hi, Mandy. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad to be here with you.
I'm so glad that you're here and that you're going to share with us your story, which I don't know too much about. I just know a little bit. So it's going to be really interesting to talk about. I know that you have had experience with addiction as well as mystery illnesses and not sure what's going on. So I was wondering if we could talk about that, if you could share your story and we can see the connection with that to realizing that this was connected to complex trauma.
Yeah. So I will start with my addiction history. I fell into addiction and substance abuse as a way to sort of deal with the feelings and sensations that I was experiencing and not at the time knowing how to navigate them. I felt like something was wrong with me. And I knew that when I drank or was taking pills or other substances that I felt better. And then I started to get involved with community of people that were not super healthy. And they were addicts. And so we were living this really kind of raw lifestyle of addiction. And it was not fulfilling. And it really left me feeling worse more often than not, because it didn't get rid of the deeper roots of the emotions. It wasn't getting to anything. It was like putting a Band-Aid over a gushing wound. You need to go in and excavate it and clean it out before you can cover it up. And so I was just trying to skip all that part and just cover it. But I didn't at the time know that there was even anything to excavate. So years that went on for a couple of years and got in myself into quite a bit of trouble. It was really messy. And I look back on that part of myself and feel so much empathy and love for her, because she was really just trying to find a way to feel better and she just did not know how. And even the people that I was caught up with, I feel the same about them too. So I ended up wanting to quit drugs. I was using a lot of hard substances, mostly stimulants and alcohol, and really wanted to try to find a way to get sober because I kept getting in trouble. I had no money. I couldn't keep a job. It was a horrible feeling and so much shame tied into that too. Like people didn't trust me. I didn't really trust myself. So I really wanted to try to find a way to get sober. So I didn't really know how to do that. So I was in and out of the halls of AA and NA and went into different treatment programs and nothing really stuck for some reason. And AA for me felt very fear-based. And so it didn't feel like it was empowering me to make choices. It sort of left me feeling even more like a victim than I already was. And I know that not everyone has that experience. So I just want to preface and say that AA can be an amazing program for people, but that was just the experience that I was left with. I also had issues with some of my sponsors and was dealing with abandonment within the sponsor-sponsee relationship too, which did not build a lot of inner trust or inner safety. I ended up meeting my now husband and got pregnant unexpectedly. And from there, I was like, okay, I have to figure out how the heck I'm going to get sober. I cannot be doing anything anymore. And so from the moment I found out that I was pregnant, I quit everything cold turkey.
Oh my goodness. I can't even imagine. Cold turkey?
Yeah. Gee. It was very intense. Also really showed me how strong people can be, how strong I could be. And so from there, I started doing therapy and we were doing relationship therapy at the time too. And my husband is my rock. I always say that I don't think I could have done any of this healing if it hadn't been for him, because he was a very safe and secure base and always unwavering. He would get frustrated with me, but he never wavered in our commitment to each other. So I ended up getting pregnant and figuring out how to continue to stay sober. And that wasn't the hardest part for me. The hardest part was then dealing with all the stuff that was coming up emotionally, the intense insecurity, the fear, all the stuff. And being an addict comes with its own traumatic experiences too. So there was a lot of trauma just from being in that lifestyle. And so that was challenging, but I ended up making it through. And so now I have 3 kids and I'm still sober. Yeah. After getting sober, I went into yoga teacher training. And that for me was a really incredible foundation for sobriety, because in the teacher training, we focused a lot on mindfulness. She was doing a lot of somatic work. And she also had us learn how to be really comfortable in our bodies and experiencing sensations that were coming up and learning how to tune into our intuition, which was so new for me. Like I hadn't done anything really that up to that point that allowed me to feel safe in my body with a witness, which, as you know, having a witness in your journey is so important. Then from there, I got pregnant again with our second baby. And then shortly after she was born, I started to have autoimmune symptoms surfacing. And my younger sister had just been diagnosed with brain cancer. And my husband's dad was dealing with a lot of health issues too. So we were undergoing immense amounts of stress at the time. And it was really overwhelming to our system. So I had a pretty good foundation from the yoga teacher training to feel solid on, but it wasn't enough. And so I just started having all of these crazy symptoms surfacing, like digestive issues. I was getting rashes. My hair was falling out. I wasn't sleeping. I had debilitating anxiety. I had brain fog and so many other symptoms. It was really not fun at all. It was so overwhelming. And so from there, I started looking into different diets and things that could try to help me, because I was thinking, oh, this is obviously physical. You know, I need to be cleaning up my diet fully. So, and my diet at that point was already pretty clean, because I started to research different foods to eat when I got pregnant with my son and like how to eat clean and stuff like that. So I started to cut out any processed food from my diet, and I was eating extremely clean, only fruit as far as sugar, and everything was like homemade. We didn't hardly eat out. We ate nothing from a bag unless it was like produce that was in a bag. Everything was super, super clean. Like I got better, but it wasn't all the way better, which was so interesting. So then I was like, maybe I need to detox. So I started doing coffee enemas and started doing herbal detoxes and things like that to try to get myself better. Oh, and then we found out that we had mold in our house too. But we had been in this house for 5.5 years up to that point and had not had any issues prior to that, which I thought was really interesting. And the mold that had been there was there when we moved in. It wasn't like it was new mold.
So like your system just started to respond to it.
Yes. And I think my hypothesis is that we had the stress stimulus with all this stuff going on, plus a new baby, plus not sleeping because she's a new baby. And then all the other stuff that we were dealing with at the time. And my body just was like totally overwhelmed by it. So food and detox got me up to a certain point and it wasn't getting better. I'm just like, okay, this is so intense.
I have heard this. I can't tell you how many times people have spent thousands of dollars trying to figure out what plan to do, what food to eat, and thinking that that's going to correct it. So anyways, I'm interested to hear more.
Yeah. And so the food helped to a certain point. Like I feel like the food, and I was eating, I didn't know it at the time, but I started eating pro-metabolic, which is like a lot of healthy fats and organ meats and pasture-raised animal products and carbs, and not really limiting any food group because I felt like my nervous system needed, or my body, I didn't really know much about the nervous system at this point, but it felt like my body needed the protein and the fat and the carbs and stuff like that. So it was kind of intuitively pro-metabolic. And so yeah, it helped to a certain point. But then so I started working with a friend of mine who did EMDR, and I had not really heard much about EMDR at the time. And so I asked if she would do a couple of sessions with me just to see, because I was thinking, oh yeah, it's the mold or whatever. So we did a couple of sessions of EMDR and started working through things that were surfacing from childhood, which were really unexpected because I didn't know that, you know, it was going to take me back there. So then I was having a very visceral reaction to the stuff that was coming up. And I was like, wow, this is so crazy. I was like shaking and trembling and chattering and like having a actual detox response to the energy is what it felt like. That was obviously stuck in my system. After that point, so many things in my brain just started clicking that like, okay, there's more to healing than just the physical. We have to address the emotional stuff. At that point, after that, I heard about the body keeps the score, and I could only take that in small doses at a time because it's a pretty heavy book. It can be really triggering to listen to. And so I was listening to like bits and pieces of it, but it was very validating for what my experience had been, even through addiction, even through the autoimmune stuff and everything else in life too that I had experienced. So it just made so much sense as far as what I was experiencing. And then from there, I learned about the polyvagal theory. And then I learned about attachment theory and so much stuff. But it was really, really interesting that once I started addressing the emotional component and the nervous system and the somatics of it and learning how to feel safe with these sensations that were coming up, that is when my health started to turn and round the corner.
That's absolutely incredible. So how do you think expressing or feeling or learning to tolerate your feelings, why do you think that that helped you to feel better?
My thinking around that is because there was so much energy of stuff circulating in my system that had yet to be processed, had yet to be witnessed. And so when I'm able to witness it myself and in the presence of somebody else who can be non-judgmental and also not get swept away by what I'm experiencing, then it's able to be moved out more easily.
Yeah, that's just incredible. So are you kind of saying that you weren't really aware before that, that there was trauma in your childhood or that there was attachment issues or?
I knew it intellectually, but it was so different once I was able to experience it somatically. It was almost like there was a disconnect. Like I knew up here in my head, oh yes, these things happened, but it wasn't until I could like allow myself to feel the feelings then, now. Does that make sense?
It totally makes sense. And even I think there's a misconception about feelings. I used to think that feelings meant, oh, I'm going to think about my feelings. And then I would think about how I was feeling. But there was, like you said, there was a complete disconnect. Yeah. All my feelings were in my head. Mm-hmm. And no change can happen when you have that disconnect. So
yeah, exactly. And it has to be felt and experienced from the body, not from, we can't think ourselves into feeling better. Like, oh, I'm thinking about this time that I got hurt, but it's not really doing anything. And in fact, in some cases, talking about it can be re-traumatizing for people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yes. It's just so interesting how our bodies and brains are. And then when you understand that we have these protective patterns that surface and we get caught up in this fight or flight response or this shutdown, immobilized response, and you can understand, oh, my body is not doing that because it hates me. It's doing that because it's trying to protect me. And that was a really big piece of it for me, especially with the autoimmune stuff that I was dealing with, is that I felt like my body was broken. I felt like I'm eating so clean. Why am I not getting better? I'm doing all these things to try to feel better. I'm prioritizing sleep. I meditate. I do yoga and I'm still not getting better. So what is the deal? And then when I learned about the polyvagal theory, it really helped to shift that perspective of, oh yeah, it's not something that I'm doing wrong. It's literally my body trying to keep me safe because it perceives a threat somewhere in my environment.
Yes, exactly. So you're saying that as you started to learn this stuff, your symptoms, your immune issues just started to dissipate?
Yeah. And I was dealing with chronic pain too, like muscle aches and joint pain. And it was really, really uncomfortable. And so as I continued to deepen my own healing and to become more regulated and more flexible in my nervous system, that's when my symptoms started to shift. And as I was showing up more embodied and regulated, then my kids also started to heal, which was something that was totally mind-blowing to me. Because if you had said that to me before, oh yeah, if you heal, your kids will heal, I would have been like, there's no way.
Wow. Yeah. It's amazing how we're just mirrors. Like we feed off of each other. You know, when someone walks in the room and they've got like, you could pick up on their energy. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, they pick up on ours as well. That's really great.
And our systems influence each other too.
Yes.
So if I'm showing up dysregulated, even if I think, oh, I'm containing it and I'm hiding it, they can still read the very subtle cues that I am showing up with. It's crazy. Even if I'm like, oh, I'm kind of grumpy today, but I'm going to pretend everything's fine.
I sure did a lot of pretending.
We think, oh, well, my kids, they don't need to know about this. Like we think we're protecting them by doing that because that's what we were shown probably as kids too. It's like, oh, this is just what you do. You just pretend everything's fine.
Wow. So I'm trying to think if there's anything else I want to ask you about that, or if there's anything else you want to share that has been helpful for you. Did you continue with EMDR then after you did it a few times with your friend?
So after that, I did not. I felt for me that it was a little too overstimulating. I did a couple of sessions and it was too much. And I actually think that in some ways it kind of re-traumatized me. So then I started working with a practitioner who did somatic work and he was amazing. He's such a sweet man. And so he helped me tremendously to relearn inner safety in my body, you know, embodying this sense of safety. Mm. And it's so funny because we think so often safety is like, oh, I need to just protect you and protect me. And like when as a parent, like, oh, I have to protect my kids from ever being hurt. But safety is more about teaching or modeling for our kids or for ourselves that it's actually okay to get hurt and you can get back up. Like it's not the end of the world if something happens, but having the support to be able to try to navigate it.
Yeah, that's really it right there, what you're saying. Yeah, it's teaching them resilience. And it's true. I think I would have said in the past that safety is, I'm going to just cover you with my wings and nothing's going to happen to you, but that doesn't help them to develop their own wings, right?
Right, exactly. And actually, that brings me, I want to share a little bit about my daughter's accident. You know what happened with her.
So I
just want to share. So my daughter, my five-year-old, was hit by a car while riding her bike on our street, and she was dragged about 100 feet. She suffered minor brain bleed and skull fractures and third-degree burns down her back. And it was really interesting because the whole experience has just been so eye-opening and awakening for me and grounding. But also before that, I was going through all of this healing and nervous system work and somatic work. And I was thinking in my head, somehow, subconsciously, if I do everything right, and if I heal everything, and if I eat clean and do all the right things, then I can somehow bypass suffering for my kids. They won't have to suffer in any way if I do everything right. They'll never have to deal with addiction or any of the hurts that I've ever dealt with, and they can just be totally protected and unscathed. And this accident showed me that that's obviously not true, even in the slightest. And actually, I felt like I was doing my kids a little bit of a disservice by overprotecting them in a way, because then when something does happen, it's way more earth-shattering because their reality isn't really grounded in reality. It's grounded in this idea that, oh yeah, if you just do everything right, nothing bad will happen. And that's not true. That's not realistic.
Yeah. So do you want to share a little bit of some of the things you had that insight? Anything else? By the way, why don't you tell us how your daughter's doing right now?
Oh yeah, good idea. She's doing incredibly well. She has a traumatic brain injury. And so we definitely see some of those symptoms, memory and mood issues and things like that. But it could also be trauma from the accident. It could be a variety of things, but she's recovering incredibly well. The doctors were all floored with her progress and like couldn't believe that she was healing as well as she was. So it's truly miraculous. And somehow we had thousands of people praying for her all over the world. It was so wild. It was wild. And I could really feel the support and prayer from everybody in the community. It was really powerful.
I remember seeing that it seemed, and again, I wasn't in your shoes, but she seemed to get well fairly quickly.
It was very fast. She was in the hospital for 6 days, and it was like on Sunday, we weren't sure if she was going to make it through the night. And then by Friday, they were like, all right, you're going home. And we were like, wait, what? Like, this feels too soon.
That's it. I mean, when I first heard the news, I was like, oh my goodness. And yes, I prayed as well. But then, like you said, 6 days later, you were home and this, you were sharing about what was happening. And oh my gosh, I'm so glad that things are good with her.
Yeah, me too. And I think that having the foundation that I have, especially now in healing, has prepared me to be able to navigate this with her and with her older brother and with my husband who was with her at the time of the accident. Oh. I feel very informed, which our nervous systems love to have information because it helps us to feel safe. And so I definitely have a lot of information and a lot of context so that when she does have a temper tantrum or something that seems a little abnormal, I can say, okay, well, she's probably overstimulated. Let me regulate myself first, check in with me first so that then I can tend to her. So that way I'm meeting her and matching her and can help regulate her system too.
Oh, that's so great. That's so good. Is there anything else before we end that you want to share about your journey or about healing?
Yeah, I'm feeling like it feels important to say, no matter where you are in your journey, don't give up. It can feel really overwhelming and really daunting. It feels like sometimes you just want to throw in the towel and say, why am I doing this? Why am I putting in this effort? It doesn't feel like things are getting better. And I promise you, it's like giving birth. You're giving birth to this new way of being, to a new nervous system functionality. And so just before that change happens, you have to lean into the discomfort of the birth happening, that emotion being birthed, of that new way of being born. And it's really important to just be so gentle with yourself in your process. And our process is going to look so different. And sometimes you might think you're done with something and it can rear its head again. And you can be like, well, I thought I did this already. And that doesn't mean that you're set back or that you're doing something wrong. It's just, to me, shows that there's a new dimension and a new layer of healing to deepen so that you can fully embody who you're meant to be.
Oh, that's wonderful. So if people want to get in touch with you, Mandy, how can they find out more about your work?
Yeah, so I'm on Instagram. That's where I'm mostly focusing my energy right now. My Instagram handle is Heal with Mandy. It's HEALWITHMANDY. And I also have a website that I am in the process of updating, and that's mandywellness.com, MANDY.
Thank you. I'll put all of this in the show notes. Thank you so much for to find out more about my trauma recovery coaching, you can visit my website at www.cptsdcoach.com.